Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Michael Otis, the CEO of Prokoto. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Sure. So I went to Wake Forest. While I was there, I started a learning center. So I did a K-12 learning center for about a year, did a lot of SAT prep, ACT prep, K-12 enrichment, and did an internship with eBay, and I was in their corp dev and strategy group. So I was the kid in the corner of the boardroom taking notes when early stage startups were pitching themselves to eBay. So I didn't do a whole lot of talking, but I did a lot of listening. And 5 minutes or so into the first of those meetings, I realized, you know what, I would much rather be on that side of the table. I'd rather be running an early stage company than be on the eBay side. So a lot of my career has been spent working back toward that point that I'm fortunate enough to be at now. Out of school, I did the whole strategy consulting thing at KPMG for a handful of years, flew across the country, lots of travel, learned a lot. Then I got pulled to my first startup in Atlanta called Rubicon Global. It's a waste and recycling tech brokerage. Spent 3.5 years there building up an analytics team and a procurement team and gradually serving a larger role within operations. And then as I'm getting closer to wanting to venture off and start my own business, I was pulled to an earlier stage startup that was around employee number 10 or so at the time. It's called Stored, also in Atlanta. They're a similar business model, tech-enabled 3PL warehousing. So I was there from employee number 10 to 45, 50 or so. So joined between seed and series A. They raised a big $15 million series A from Kleiner Perkins while I was there. So got to be part of that process, build out some of the models, be part of the team that helped recruit the first 40, 50 employees. So great learning experience. And then I got to the point where I probably naively thought, all right, I know how to do this. Let's go start a business. So called up my good lifelong buddy, Ryan, and we left to start Prokoto.
Wow. So you do have some startup chops there under your belt.
Well, maybe a little. We'll see how it pays off. But spent a few years in the dirt or so.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then now that you've started Prokoto, tell people what Prokoto does, who your target audience is, how you serve them, all that.
Sure. Sure. So I mentioned the business models of the two previous tech startups with which I was involved. They're both these broker model businesses where you have us in the center, and then you have customers on one side and vendors on the other. So for us to win the business of our potential customers, we had to submit for their RFPs, these giant Fortune 500 companies. But then on the other side, in order to win their business, we had to run our own sourcing events with these much smaller vendors. So just side by side, my job day in and day out was to use the sourcing and procurement processes of these much larger companies. What software are they using? What do they do well? What do they do poorly? And then on the other side, these much smaller businesses who don't have access to the same technology, and they're stuck in Excel, if they're doing it well, Excel, PDFs, shared drives, email, phone calls, texts. And finally, it hit me that these guys have access to all of the software. These smaller guys have the same exact problems. How is nobody seeing this, but they don't have any solutions? So eventually left to start Prokoto to make this enterprise level sourcing and procurement technology more affordable and just easier to use for these smaller companies.
That's actually a very interesting idea. I've been on different sides of that at different points in my career, and you're right. Excel. So a lot of people think Excel is a system.
Right. As a self-professed Excel nerd, I spent a lot of time in VBA in my life. It is not a solution for sourcing and procurement. And I literally started a business to combat a piece of software that I love wholeheartedly, but it's Excel is not the answer.
Yes, you're right. And we won't go into all that. It is a great product. Right. So you started this company, if I remember right, sometime this year. So you had to have started it remotely. Is that true?
So we started in 2020. It's been a little over a year now. We did start remotely. I was still in Atlanta and my co-founder Ryan was over in England. So we were separated by several time zones, working very much a staggered schedule. Poor guy was slacking me back at 2 a.m. his time a lot of nights. So yes, we certainly started things remotely, which this was before the pandemic. So we were a little bit ahead of the curve and trying to set up systems and run things remotely and asynchronous communication. And this coming from my previous background of having to drive into an office every day and really scheduling my time around when traffic was at its best and when it was at its worst. So it was a very welcome change of pace to be able to dictate my own schedule and work at whatever hours I thought was most appropriate.
Yeah, and I have been to Atlanta, and I don't ever remember traffic being easy in Atlanta.
Oh, it is not a fun experience. There are 3 hours at the beginning of the day and 3 hours at the end of the day that if you're going out, it's going to take an hour to get anywhere. And it, when no traffic, it takes 15 to 20 minutes.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember I would actually take the, what's it called? The rapid transit. I forget the name of it.
285 going around the city.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting. So now you have Procodo and you're 100% remote. And are you and your partner in the same area or do you still live apart?
So if I speak really loudly, I might be able to break through my apartment, my co-founder's apartment doors across the way. So I can see over across them at this point. We're all of a couple hundred feet away from each other. We're in St. Petersburg, Florida. And now we're hiring. So we wrapped up YC 3 months ago or so, and now we are officially hiring. So we're faced with the unique perspective of the two of us have always been physically in an office our entire careers. And now we would be at a competitive disadvantage if we didn't try to hire remotely. So we're speaking with candidates from all over at this point. And it's fantastic from a competitive standpoint because now we can hire the best people no matter where they're located.
Oh, cool. And you said you did YC remotely. So what was that like? Because you know, historically that's been a very big people get together and bond and talk over great ideas and you know, pretty long hours too, if I remember right, correct?
Yeah. So the long hours, unfortunately, don't change. I think it's necessary. The long hours don't change. I think the obvious question a lot of people ask is, do you lose out on the personal side? And I'll acknowledge, sure, I'm not sitting next to somebody that I hadn't met before at a talk, and we're not walking over to dinner together and having three meals a week together. So they do what they can in terms of encouraging conversations over Zoom and donut chats. So I think that I'll acknowledge that is lost to a certain degree, but the benefits I think far outweigh the slight loss on the social side. So the efficiency that with which they can run the program now, because you don't have to go from location to location, or if you're a group partner, you don't have to drive to Mountain View, or if you're an attendee, a participant, you don't have to go to Mountain View for a meeting. You can just hop off one Zoom call and on to the next one. So it's the output, the throughput of guidance and advisory is much more significant. And even if you think just the level and the quality of speakers that YC has been able to recruit in the past, now you just ask somebody to walk into their living room and turn on their Zoom, and now they can speak to a whole batch of Y Combinator founders, as opposed to flying them out to Mountain View, sacrificing a weekend, or whatever the case may have been in the past.
Yeah, and actually, I got to believe it from a you know quality of life standpoint. You don't have to turn your life upside down to you know depending upon yes. your life situation. It's not a 9-to-5 job, but it's more similar to a 9-to-5 job, right?
Right. You don't have to uproot your business wherever it is and move out to Mountain View. Even the interview process, I think before our batch, maybe the one before us, summer of last year, I think before those you were, I don't know if you were expected to interview in person no matter where you were, but I've definitely read stories of founders in the Middle East flying to Mountain View for their final round interview, which maybe is a little bit of an outdated philosophy, and it makes so much more sense to just hop on a Zoom. Even the interview process, they can, I'm sure they interview so much more efficiently than they have in the past. So I think the pros far outweigh the cons in terms of YC moving remotely.
Yeah. And an interesting thing you mentioned was that you're going to be remote as part of a competitive advantage to hire the best talent. Is that correct?
That's right. And that was a factor in our moving to St. Petersburg. So I was in Atlanta. My co-founder was in England. We grew up in the Philly area together. And we realized, you know what, we're going to run this company remotely. Why don't we choose where we live based on being in a beautiful location and not necessarily where, like moving to San Francisco, where we know we can find 15 qualified engineers the day we start looking for candidates. Because now it doesn't really matter. Anybody is available no matter where they are. And it's really leveled the playing field and an ability to recruit talent in that. Remote is what all candidates are looking for and what most companies are offering at this point.
But it's interesting because I know personally someone that works at Google, very near and dear to my heart, and they're trying to get them to go back to the office, as is Facebook. Facebook wants their people to start coming back in. And I got to believe that Apple will too, since they just built that big spaceship down in Cupertino.
Right. So I had heard of Apple. I hadn't heard of the other two. So I can confirm I read an article about Apple pushing toward coming back as well. And sorry to jump the gun, but I think your question was getting to the idea of, will that be a disadvantage for them? Will they see folks leaving? And I don't know, remains to see. Obviously, they carry a much more significant brand weight than Procodo does, at least at this point in time. So we'll see. I if I were an engineer at Apple or Facebook, and I had the option to go to Amazon, and I could work from wherever I wanted or travel the country while I'm working, I don't know, it sounds pretty appealing to me.
I know. I agree with you. I've talked to some engineers, and there are, I mean, I know people being in the Bay Area, I know people that worked at those companies that no longer live in the Bay Area.
Right. So, as do I, and I'm not even out there.
Yeah. And I know people that stayed with those companies and moved to different areas, and now they've got that dilemma. So I think you you might have a little bit of a advantage there. And I will tell you, I mean, I talked to the person yesterday at Google, and it's happening. They want them back, right? They are in the office, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Wow. So hopefully you'll be able to tap into that that market a little bit.
I hope so. You would think those companies would be at the forefront of figuring out how to do this remotely as effectively as possible, rather than sticking to the old guns. I mean, I can't imagine 30 years from now, many companies at all are requiring people to be in an office. So it seems strange to have demonstrated that this remote work thing is better in many ways and certainly achievable, and is not holding back production. It's, mm-hmm. it's strange that they're pushing back for. There are very smart people, smarter people than I, running those companies. So I'm sure they thought through, and there's reasons behind the decisions. But I'd be curious to understand what they are.
It would be interesting to talk to them. Yeah, and interestingly, you're doing this now. You know, you're just starting. But do you see the advantage of starting a company remotely versus some of the other companies you started in the past that, you know, had that we got to have a nice office and we got to have everybody coming in and all that stuff?
Right. Yeah, I certainly. And it was a silver lining we recognized at the beginning of the pandemic, is that we had not moved into an office space yet, when a lot of companies who were a year, 18 months, 24 months ahead of us had just started a lease on their first office space. They're recruiting people from other cities to move in. And all of a sudden, there's no reason to be in the office. You literally can't be in the office for a handful of months last year. So I think we are at a bit of an advantage in that we, from the outset, are building an infrastructure around the idea of being remote. And from the early stages of Procodo last year, I was doing a lot of research on how to build a culture remotely, and how do you get people to actually get some FaceTime? Do we do quarterly travel where we do a team building thing Thursday and Friday and then hang out in some other city on the weekend? So it's been helpful knowing from the outset that this was going to be how we built the company. Whereas if you're like some of the huge name companies we just discussed, they have built an infrastructure around a certain way to work. And it's I'm sure, much more difficult to adapt at this point.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting, because I think that will also be a competitive advantage. If you get, you know, engineers or people from the Northeast and you say, hey, we're going to have yearly meetings in January in Florida, I think that would be
appealing. That's right. That's right. We haven't flown a candidate in yet, but my co-founder and I have debated, hey, maybe as the final round interview, we fly our candidates into St. Petersburg, Florida. We live in a vacation destination. We might as well use that to our advantage. And even if it's not coming here as our headquarters, if it's collectively as a team voting on, hey, let's all go to this city. This won 8 of the 10 votes. Let's all go here for a long weekend to bond and to actually get some FaceTime. That's A, much more affordable than having to lease office space for the same period of time. But also my co-founder and I are big travelers and want to encourage getting out there and seeing the world and not just being so laser focused on your job. And I think we can promote that type of behavior by doing those types of things.
Yeah. And I think there's one last question I'm going to ask you, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but generally when people, there's a difference between remote and distributed. So you can, and distributed is you have a group of people in an area that are kind of working on the same thing, but they can still work remote, or they can have an office if they choose to go there. Have you thought of that at all?
So it's something that we have discussed. Our thought is, if you have part of a group that is in the same location and has the option to work together, it almost puts the others who are truly remote on a bit of an island. mm-hmm. and it creates a challenge. So a lot of us have experienced that in our careers with just sales teams, or sales teams could be, you could have somebody responsible for, so I've been on the East Coast my whole career. So we're in the Southeast, we could have sales folks who are responsible for out West who doesn't make any sense for them to come into the office in Atlanta, but it always felt like that person was on an island. And I think a hybrid distributed structure where you have, let's say, a handful of our team members are here in St. Petersburg, but others are spread out throughout the US. It's not impossible, but I think it takes more of a concentrated effort to make sure everybody feels level and equal within the organization. So
yeah,
something we've thought about. I think it's just a different animal to try to tackle.
Yeah, and it is. It's actually more of the belonging thing. It's more of the culture thing than it is a technical thing for most companies, right? Yeah. Well, Michael, it's been great talking to you today. I wish Prokoto all the luck in the world. Sounds like you've figured out a niche that, you know, will really help a lot of these smaller businesses. So good luck, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.